Happy Easter. Then we know the Easter season is 50 days long, but today completes the Easter octave. So these last 8 days since last Sunday, the prayers of the liturgy, both at Mass and in the breviary, the liturgy hours, we have been living one long day. We reflected last week about this is the day the Lord has made. And that was towards the end of our responsorial psalm. Once again, this is the day. And the prayers for the consecration will say, on this day, Easter took place. It's too much to celebrate Easter for just one day. There's too much there. Mother Church knows we need this octave. We need the season to really enter into the great mystery of what took place 1 week ago. Then we also, as we heard in the announcement, today is Divine Mercy Sunday. This second Sunday of Easter. It's not after Easter, it's of Easter. It's part of this second Sunday. In the year 2000, St. John Paul II asked for this great feast to be celebrated. In a response to the revelation to St. Faustina, who was the first saint canonized in the new millennia, had a poor Polish nun in the 1930s with very limited formal education, received a series of visions and locutions, these messages from the Lord, almost begging her to reveal this heart. And we already know the sacred heart of Jesus, which beats for love and mercy for each one of us. But we know love also has no end. There's no end, no limit to love. That Jesus Christ, our lover, our friend, our rescuer, our redeemer, wants to be known more and more. So he revealed even more so the fact that his face, his name is mercy. And St. Faustina, Sister Faustina, was given this image where we see Jesus dressed as a priest in priestly garments with his hand up giving a priestly blessing. With his other hand pulling back the vestments, revealing his heart. And that heart is showing forth the rays, the white, the red rays, which reminds us of the blood and water that flowed from his side on Good Friday when his side was pierced with the lance. And Mother Church has come to understand this to be the great sacraments of life, the white water being baptism, that moment when we're rescued from death by entering into the death of Christ and through those waters being brought to life, and then the red, the blood, being a sign of the Holy Eucharist, that nourishment, that nourishing encounter with the true presence of Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so there's everything we need here in this image. In that simple phrase, Jesus, I trust in you. That simple phrase, those few short words, unlocks a torrent of mercy. So often in our faith, in our liturgical sacramental practices, it's just a few words that change everything. When a man and woman, a bride and groom, come to the altar and they simply say, I do, radically new life. When the priest says, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. When the priest says, I absolve you from your sins. When the priest says, this is my body, this is my blood. Such few words changes the world. These few words, Jesus, I trust in you. To trust in Jesus, to believe that what has been said about him, what he said about himself, what Mother Church teaches about him is true. If I believe that, and then I order my life after that belief, then there is nothing that holds back the mercy, the love, the joy, the peace of Jesus Christ. And we celebrate that beautiful gift today. In reality, we celebrate it every day. But we know as humans, we need moments that kind of collapse, that kind of stop for a moment, that we can truly enter into the great mysteries, to remind ourselves of the greatness, the new life that we have. I mean, married couples shouldn't need an anniversary celebration to renew their love and their commitment, but it helps to focus. These liturgical events help us to focus our devotion, our understanding, our faith, and our love. And then when we see this revealed in the scriptures today, you may have noticed our first reading came from the Acts of the Apostles and not the Old Testament as it normally does. That's something unique about the Easter season. As we are embracing the new life of Christ brought to us because of the resurrection, because of Easter, these 50 days meant to marinate, to celebrate this new life and what it means in our lives. And to help us understand what it means in our lives today, the first reading comes from the Acts of the Apostles, that first gospel of the new church. As St. Luke, the author of the gospel, wrote Acts of the Apostles, and he's teaching us, showing to us what the effect of the resurrection had on that early church. Those men who we heard in the gospel were locked behind the door because they were afraid. We see in the Acts of the Apostles this dynamic power that drives them out of that upper room, out into the world. And even the one today that we sometimes will call Doubting Thomas, because of this encounter with Jesus Christ, he's the apostle that went the furthest. He went all the way to India. And by the mid-50s of that first century, there were already Christian communities thriving in India because of this encounter that Thomas had with Jesus. He gets a bad rap, I would say, by we calling him Doubting Thomas. Because if we remember a few chapters earlier, he was the one who was ready to go with Jesus to Jerusalem, even if it meant death. He was courageous. But the other disciples get a pass because they were there. Who knows if they would have been doubting whoever, Jude or Simon or Matthew, if they had not been there. Have you ever doubted? You come to Mass every week, hopefully. You encounter Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. You go to confession. You've been baptized. You've seen Jesus. Do you ever doubt? Do you ever doubt the reality of his love? Do you ever doubt the totality of his love expressed through the teachings of Mother Church? Do you ever doubt that he listens, that he hears your prayer? Thomas can be your friend. Because oftentimes we set up this same kind of calculus that Thomas did. God, unless you do this for me, then I'm not doing that for you anymore. Unless my wife gets cured of cancer, I'm never going to pray again. Unless my son returns to the faith or quits doing drugs, I'm never going to do this again. God, if you're real, then you will do this. How often have we done the same thing? The answers we get may not be quite as clear as the answer Thomas got. But the Lord always hears. He always responds. And you maybe have seen artistic renderings of this scene with Thomas reaching out and touching the wounds of Jesus, but that's not in the scriptures. It may have happened, but what if it didn't? What if, as it's written, as we heard this evening, is what really happened? As Jesus said, Thomas, touch me. And in response, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Maybe Thomas was able to give that response without actually touching, because he knew that this was Jesus. He knew this was God because Jesus responded to his desire. Unless I see the wounds, unless I touch his side, I won't believe. Okay, touch me. How else would this man have known what Thomas had said if he wasn't God? Do you express Even if it's with a tint of doubt, your desires to Jesus, your hope, your expectation. Thomas, in the gospel today, shows us not to be afraid of our doubts, our questions, our uncertainties. This man who walked with Jesus for 3 years was still uncertain. There's nothing wrong with asking questions and seeking to understand more. If we take those questions to Jesus, and if we give Jesus permission to answer, if we don't use our doubts for an excuse to walk away, to close our heart, to stay locked behind the wall. This is what Thomas teaches us today. And then we see that beautiful impact in Acts of the Apostles, that snapshot of the early church, how they held everything in common, held nothing back. They sold their houses and gave it to the apostles. So maybe we can pass the basket tonight and to see if we really are responding well to this gospel invitation to live as true disciples converted. But I realize that my life is not my own. I don't need to be clinging and hoarding things. But everything I have is meant to be given away as a gift. Isn't that what Jesus taught us on the cross? Everything I have is meant to be given away. And this is what the early church learned. It wasn't easy. It wasn't automatic. So don't beat yourself up if you're not there yet. But do you desire to be there? Do you meditate upon the great mysteries of our faith? Do you meditate upon and contemplate the great mysteries of God's love, God's mercy? And do you desire to give more of yourself than you've already given? Do you believe that it's worth it? The scene of the gospel today is so rich. How would you have responded if you were one of the apostles who ran away and deserted and denied? Then here this man is showing up in your face. The very day, that Easter Sunday when he shows up, what would you have been expecting him to say? Any of our young people ever get caught by their parents doing something wrong? What's your expectation of your parents' response to that? If you are a spouse or an adult and you've done something severely wrong and you got caught and you had to face the person who you offended, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. Shalom. I desire everything in your life to be in its proper order, its proper place. Peace be with you. Leave your fears aside. Leave your guilt and your shame aside. Peace be with you." And he did this wonderful, weird thing of breathing on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. And then we have here the beginning of our understanding of the sacrament of confession. As he's sharing with the early church the power to forgive sins, giving them the same mission that he had. As the Father sent me, he said, "I send you. I send you to be the face of mercy. I send you to be that vessel of love and forgiveness, of joy and of peace. Peace be with you." And this is Easter Sunday night. So on Thursday, he instituted the priesthood. He instituted the Holy Eucharist. And now on Sunday, he's instituting confession. And when he breathed on them, I know all of us are so deep in our knowledge of the scriptures that we know the last time that God breathed on somebody. The first time God did that in the Garden of Eden, as he put the dust together and formed that first man and breathed life into the nostrils of Adam. Jesus Christ is the new Adam. The church is his body. We can read John's gospel as a new creation story. That through the love and the mercy, the joy, the peace of Jesus Christ, the sin of Adam is being washed away. And that this new body, this new Christ, this new Adam is now embodied with the Spirit of God. And the church is that place where God's mercy is encountered. Because did you notice that it was when Thomas was back with the group where he encountered Jesus? Jesus knew he wasn't there. He could have met him along the way somewhere. But he encountered that apostle in the midst of the church. There's something deep here, profound here. As we come to believe in Jesus Christ, as we grow in trust of his mercy and his love, the joy and the peace that he brings, our devotion to Holy Mother Church should grow, because we know it's only in the church that we can truly encounter Christ. That those sacraments of the priesthood and the Eucharist and confession are only found and they come alive in this body of believers. Those of us who've been called to leave behind the old life and to rise anew in the life of Jesus Christ. And that's what John said at the end of the gospel. That Jesus did a whole lot more than any books it ever could contain, God did in Jesus Christ. But these things are written. Why? What did he say? What did we hear? These things are written so that you might believe, and through your belief come to life. Without Jesus Christ, we are dead. Dead in our sin. Dead, locked behind doors of fear and anxiety. But as we come to encounter God's mercy, the free gift that he offers in abundance to each one of you here this evening, as we come to encounter his mercy, as we come to grow in confidence in his power to change our lives, as our life changes, we become something new. Christ brings dead things back to life. Christ restores life to things that are dead. Have you allowed that transformation to take place in your life? Have you truly encountered God's love and his mercy, his joy and his peace? Have you heard him say those words to you? Peace be with you. Have you heard him say, behold, I'm making you new? This is the day. This is that encounter. This is when everything changes. Listen to him say to you again, peace be with you. Behold, I am making all things new.